You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Good afternoon to you, Dr. Danu, and welcome.
Good afternoon, Pascal.
Good afternoon.
And I'm very happy to be here this Thursday. I'm welcome to all of our listeners and also our viewers. We're also broadcasting it live on our Facebook page of the Diabetes Association. I do want to thank, of course, Superfarm for making this program possible. And I also want to remind all listeners and viewers that we have the Diabetes and You article today in the Trinidad and Tobago Guardian. On page 27, we are talking about diabetes distress. We would have spoken a couple of weeks ago about this topic, and we have now turned it into an article. So pick up a copy of today's Trinidad and Tobago Guardian. Page 27, you can look at the Diabetes and You article, and also you look at some of the other things we are doing at the Diabetes Association. Before I introduce my guest, and before we go into the topic today, I want to say if I'm excited about the topic, but I am excited about the topic, because many men in particular, and women, I think, are interested in this topic, but men in particular, and I know we're focusing quite a lot on men's health in June. So I really am happy that we have this topic. But before we get to it, I want to let our listeners know what's happening at the Diabetes Association. So we just concluded our National Diabetes Primary School quiz, and we had 871 students registering or taking part in the quiz from 104 schools across the country. And the top three students, the first place winner, was crowned on the stage last week, Saturday, was Isha Sukram from Tulsa Trace Hindu School. Ethan Pariag from Robert Village came second. And Deja Leger from Harmony Hall Presbyterian School came third. So I want to congratulate those three children, and especially all of the participants, all of their parents, all of their supporters. We actually almost ran out of questions. We had about one or two questions remaining, and they were answering all. So it was very, very impressive to see all these children on the stage. I also want to let all of our potential sixth form interns know that we're going to be starting the program soon. We had about 800 applicants for the program, to the program this year. We're only able to take 36, probably 39, but we've reached out to about 100 of them. We've shortlisted, and we're going to be starting interviews tomorrow. So that sixth form internship program is going to start in a couple of weeks. I want to remind our listeners that we are continuing our diabetic eye screening program with the Trinidad and Tobago Eye Hospital, the locations for that free diabetic eye test, that dilated eye exam. Tomorrow we'll be in Chaguanas at the Diabetes Association head office. On the 16th, we'll be in Kuva at Alpha Care Clinic. And on the 26th, we'll be in Toku at the Toku Regional Complex. And also on the 23rd, we'll be at the La Brea Constituency Office. So those are the locations. If you are living with diabetes, if you're not living with diabetes and you haven't had an eye test, you want to get the back of your eyes checked for free, give us a call at the Diabetes Association to make that appointment. So our phone number is 607-3288. Give us a call at any time for any of our services, and you could get this free diabetic eye test. Of course, any other assistance you need, give us a call or follow us on any of our social media networks, and you could be able to get information from the Diabetes Association. So I want to get into the program. And as I said, very interesting, because, and I'm happy we do have this guest today, we're going to talk about diabetes and erectile dysfunction. I know a lot of people's ears probably stuck up when they heard that before. we need to deal with the topic. And I want to introduce the guest, and the guest is really an expert in the field. We have Dr. Kurt Godin with us, and he is a consultant urologist at the Port of Spain General Hospital and an associate lecturer at UWI St. Augustine. He graduated from the University of the West Indies in Mona campus with a bachelor's degree, medical bachelor's of surgery, MBBS, in 1999. During medical school, he earned several prestigious scholarships, including the Marcus Garvey Scholarship. He completed his internship in Jamaica. He would have had experiences in general surgery, in orthopedics, anesthesia, and of course, urology. During this period, he would have moved to Trinidad and Tobago in 2007, and he did the Doctor of Medicine program in urology. He was also awarded the British Journal of Urology International Scholarship in 2010, and he completed a DM in urology in 2016. He's a member of many associations around the region and around the world, and he's co-authored and authored many prestigious papers. He provides medical and surgical treatment for a wide range of conditions in urinary tract and male reproductive system. So he's really the expert to talk to us today. And I'm really happy that we have him on the program. So Dr. Goodine, welcome to Diabetes and You.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure being here. And I'm glad to be, you know, imparting information to the public.
And definitely. And again, listeners, we want you to take part in the conversation. But later on, we'll be sharing our phone numbers and our WhatsApp numbers. And also, those of you looking at us live on Facebook, you could also send us a message at the bottom of the chat, and we'll take your message as well. We'll take a question as well. But Dr. Goodine, before we start, I always like to start this with our professionals, simply because at the Diabetes Association, we always like to promote careers and promote young people, simply because we like to show that diabetes is not just about dealing with people when they already have diabetes, but about prevention and about people who can be able to assist. So with our sixth form program, for example, we're really fostering young people who want to get into medicine to know about the field, to know about NGO work or charity work before. So in that, I really want you to kind of give us your story. I mean, I've given an overview of your accomplishments. We want to hear about your story. Why did you get into medicine? And why did you end up in this field in urology? Why is it so important to you?
All right, cool. That's always a very interesting question. The reason being is because I actually decided that I wanted to become a doctor, from I was a child, from I was in basic school. When I was attending basic school, that would be about 3 or 4 years old. I remember as a child, we usually be going around during the break time trying to catch grasshoppers. And then we thought to ourselves that a doctor was someone who always cut. So we usually cut the grasshopper foot off, thinking that we are surgeons. But unfortunately, to the detriment of the grasshoppers, they eventually succumb to the surgery. But I actually was interested in becoming a doctor from a very, very young age. And as I grew older, that interest continued to intensify. I guess if, you know, God made you with that desire and that will, you know, it would have been very impossible for me to run away from that calling that was upon my life.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, at a very early age, you knew what you wanted to do. And for many young children, of course, I mean, for me, I always wanted to do something, and things always shifted around. But but you wanted to move towards this, and I mean, you're doing it today. And so what I also want to ask you is, why urology though? Why did you move towards this specialty?
Right. So after I graduated, I did my internship. During my internship, I realized that I was not interested in doing medicine. Mm. I was interested in doing internal medicine. I was preferred to do surgery. And so after I finished my internship, I did a short stint in anesthetics. Well, not so short, about 2 years. Then I realized I didn't like anesthetics. And then I decided to do surgery. And I rotated to all the surgical specialty. I actually did enjoy general surgery. And after I spent some time in doing urology, I had a very, very excellent mentor named Dr. Wedderburn from the Corner Regional Hospital in Jamaica. And just because of the relationship I had with him and how much I learned from him, I developed a desire to want to do urology. And I just felt within my spirit that, you know, I also wanted to find a way of reaching out to men. So now that I'm a urologist, I'm now able to talk to a large group of men, you know, concerning urological issues, but also concerning other issues, not necessarily related to urology, you know? And one of the things that I've incorporated in my life as of recent is using medical principles to explain spiritual issues. Mm. And that has been rather exciting, you know, part of my life now. It's crazy. So, I mean, I enjoy it. I got what I'm doing, and I'm looking forward to have a, you know, greater impact on the lives of men in Trinidad and Tobago and even the wider world.
I mean, that sounds really interesting, and I definitely want to explore that about how you're using medicine to incorporate spirituality and answer those questions.
All right, so, I could give one example, all right?
Give me an example, yeah.
One example. So while I was looking after an elderly gentleman, he said to me, he had a wound infection. Mm-hmm. So I had to expose him in order to see the wound. Yeah. The patient turned to me and said, "Doc, all my life that I've been living on earth, I have never had to expose myself like this." And then as soon as he said that, then I realized it came on my spirit. In life, sometimes we have to expose ourselves to get the help that we really need to get. And a lot of people have been hiding a lot of issues inside, and they're dying because they have been afraid to expose. The only way you can get help is when you expose yourself.
Yeah. And very poetic, eh? I mean, and very true for many, many people listening out there, knowing that they need to make themselves vulnerable, especially to the doctor, to actually get the help that they need.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So Dr. Goodin, I really want to delve into what is urology, and many people may know the word urology. Men may have seen urologists, but I really wanted to discuss what the role of the urologist actually is, and what are some of the common conditions that urologists actually treat or see?
Okay. All right. A urologist is a medical doctor who specializes in diagnosing and treating diseases of the urinary tract in both men and women. And that's very important to know, because some people think urologists only treat men, but they do treat conditions that affect the urinary tract of both men and women, and as well as disorders of the male reproductive system. Now, there's a lot of diseases that we treat, and just to name a few, tract infection is one of the common pathologies that we treat. Kidney stones, if a patient may present with blood in the urine, if a patient may present with urinary incontinence, a patient may present with difficulty urination, like men who have enlarged prostate, or a patient may present in urinary retention, or could be cancer anywhere along the urinary tract, whether kidney cancer, bladder cancer, cancer of the prostate, cancer of the testicles, cancer of the penis, and like the topic that we're actually discussing today, erectile dysfunction, male infertility, and patients with low testosterone. There are patients who may present with varicose seals. That's the abnormal dilatation of vessels within the spermatic cord. You know, so there are various conditions. Hydroceles, like another scrotal pathology, testicular pain, testicular cancer. So those are, you know, some of the disease that we treat as urologists.
Mm-hmm. So very interesting. I mean, many persons may never associate a urologist with treating a woman as well.
No.
And do we actually have women coming to urologists, or are they just all going to gynecologists because they think that this is what is it like in Trinidad?
If they have kidney stones, they definitely have to see the urologist.
Yeah.
Some of them, if they have blood in the urine, that may be their presentation. Yes, they definitely have to come and see the urologist. There are times when they would visit the gynecologist, and the gynecologist, depending on his findings, will suggest for them to see the urologist.
Yeah.
Yes, but there are specific problems that affect them. Sometimes they may have increase in their urination, and they will come and see a urologist to find out exactly, you know, why they're having that problem. So yes, women do come and see urologists, but a lot of times it's more men than women.
Yeah. So let's get into the topic. The main question I have for you, and this is what I would really want to explore, because it's really about diabetes, but really, what is erectile dysfunction? So before we get into how diabetes relates to it, I wanted to just explain to us what is erectile dysfunction? How is it defined? Or how is it
Diagnosed? Okay, right. So erectile dysfunction, as the name suggests, is a dysfunction of the erection. it's defined as the person's inability to attain or maintain an erection for them to have a satisfactory sexual function. Mm-hmm. Erectile dysfunction is one of the commonest urological complications of diabetes mellitus.
Mm-hmm. And so definitely we see it's common, but is it common among everybody? And this is where we're going to go to diabetes and mm-hmm. how diabetes actually relates to it. Does it cause it? Does it contribute to erectile dysfunction? Are there mm-hmm. other contributing factors? So what causes erectile dysfunction in men?
So there are a lot of factors that are responsible for erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. Diabetes is one of the many factors. However, it is actually, along with high blood pressure, is one of the most common risk factors for erectile dysfunction. The other contributing factors is patients who have high cholesterol, patients who are obese, patients who smoke. But there are also, like medications that are sometimes can cause erectile dysfunction. So, for example, if individuals are hypertensive and they are taking medications like a beta blocker or thiazide, or which we call a diuretic, these patients, one of the side effects of those medications is erectile dysfunction. If they have certain side to a treatment, for example, a person who may have had a radical prostatectomy where they remove this prostate because of prostate cancer, that could lead to erectile dysfunction. If they had a trauma to the spine, that could also lead to erectile dysfunction. So there's a lot of, diseases that can contribute to erectile dysfunction. But diabetes is definitely on the top of the list of one of the most common causes of erectile dysfunction. Now, in terms of the prevalence, for example, of erectile dysfunction, it's approximately about 3.5 times higher in men with diabetes than those without diabetes. Mm. So, your risk is a whole lot more by having diabetes. And obviously, if you have all the other factors as well, obviously your risk is going to be higher. And one of the other things that we have also noticed is that in terms of the age, now individuals who have complete erectile dysfunction, about 5 to 10% of men, will be affected in their 40s. As they get older, the numbers actually increase. So individuals who are in their 60s who have complete erectile dysfunction, approximately 15 to 25%. Individuals who are older than 70 years, the risk is about 30 to 50% of patients who will have significant or complete erectile dysfunction. But as a matter of fact, if you actually put all together, mild, moderate, and severe, it goes up at age 40, 40% of men are affected. At age 50, 50% of men are affected. At age 60, 60% of men are affected. At age 70, 70% of men are affected. So as you get older, you increase the chance of developing erectile dysfunction. And, so age is also a risk factor for the reason the vessels harden as it gets older, so it will cause a decrease in the blood flow to the erectile tissue, which is the most important thing that's actually necessary for you to get a good erection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I mean, you've mentioned high blood pressure and obesity, and so all of these things are often, and high cholesterol, all these things are often related, because sometimes people with diabetes have the entire metabolic syndrome in there. And I mean, they're all related. And as you said, as you get older, the risk increases. So more precautions have to be taken. And I also want to explore a little bit about the emotional side behind it. Mm-hmm. We need to take a break shortly, but after the break, I want to explore that, because a couple of weeks ago, and we're talking about it in the article today in The Guardian, which is when I would have spoken to Dr. Davis Eaton, she would have mentioned that, one, many men would stay away from medication because they know that it may cause erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. So they may choose to not have the kidney medication or not have the high blood pressure medication because they are afraid of that. Yeah. And then another aspect of it is that I want to ask you, and because she also mentioned it, is when, and actually I was in a conference in Barbados recently with Dr. Goddard in Barbados, and he was mentioning, of course, his observation of domestic violence and men with ED as well. So I definitely want to explore that. But before we take that break, because we need to take a short break, we have mentioned, of course, the cause of erectile dysfunction, or the causes. But I really wanted to kind of give us an idea of how diabetes specifically can cause it. How can diabetes specifically result in ED?
Right. So, all right. Right. So there's a lot of possibilities, right? One of the main things, one of the biggest problems that diabetes causes is that it's caused damage to blood vessels. So diabetes is actually considered a disease of the blood vessels. Mm-hmm. And the first vessels that are normally affected are the smallest ones. And that includes the ones that actually goes to the penis. Mm-hmm. Right. So those vessels, they're about 1 millimeter in diameter. The ones in the heart is about approximately 3 millimeter in diameter. So you could understand that, you know, a person may first manifest itself, the problem may first manifest itself in erectile dysfunction, because the vessel that supplies the penis is the one of the smallest, you know, vessel that supplies blood to any organ. Diabetes causes plaque formation. It causes like inflammation. The sugar itself damages the blood vessel and it impair the bloodstream to the penis. And this actually may be the erectile dysfunction may actually be the first place to show sign, even before a heart attack, stroke, or kidney failure. And that is the reason why, as a urologist, we actually take this very seriously when a patient comes to us complaining about erectile dysfunction, because that may be an indication of a lot more serious cardiovascular problem. Mm. The blood sugar, if it stays high for too long, it actually causes a chemical reaction with molecules. And this molecules could be like proteins or lipids, but they impair the cellular function, and it also contributes to aging and disease. So that's one thing. It also affects how the nitric oxide is a molecule that's responsible for relaxing and dilating these blood vessels. All right. And if there's no nitric oxide, which actually decreases as a result of the glycation that occurs in diabetes, then they won't be able to relax the blood vessel. You won't get dilatation of these blood vessels. This will lead to less blood flow, and less blood flow means weaker erection, slow response time, and decreased firmness, or the inability to maintain an erection. It also can damage the nerve. So we talk about neuropathy, where it causes a decrease in sensation. So the high blood sugar, it can damage the peripheral nerves. And those are the nerves now that will give you the sexual sensation and the arousal. And it can also, you know, causes, you know, damage, you know, to the autonomic nervous system, and this is responsible for the erection.
Yeah.
So it causes the damage to the vessels. It causes damage to the nerves. It also causes hormonal abnormalities. So if the chronic patients having chronic high levels of sugar can actually impair the hypothalamic pituitary testicular axis, and it can cause you men to have a decreased production in the testosterone level. All right. So men with diabetes, they will have a higher chance of having low testosterone. Mm-hmm. And then the low testosterone will cause a reducing sexual desire, decreased muscle mass. They can get increase in the abdominal fat. It also can cause disruption in sleep and also cause weakening in bones and cause inflammation. Diabetes can cause low testosterone, which will lead to all of these other problems. Mm-hmm. And we spoke about the psychological factors as well.
Yeah.
And it also causes a structural change to the penile tissue. So it also causes a damage to the tissue itself, where you get some level where there's a loss of the elastic fibers, and they cause a increase in the deposit of collagen, and you may end up getting some amount of fibrosis within the tissue of the penis, and this also will contribute to erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm.
So a very complex mechanism there that mm-hmm. actually results in so many issues. And I mean, mm-hmm. that's just the penile tissue, but I mean, throughout the body. And it's interesting that you're saying that one of the early signs of wider scale damage is erectile dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important, because oftentimes men may cast it aside or hide it because they're embarrassed. And this is where we want to talk about that emotional side afterwards. But very important information coming out here. Bass is in studio with us. Bass, let's take that break. When we come back, we'll open the phone lines, we'll take some questions, and we'll continue with Dr. Godin talking about erectile dysfunction and diabetes.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Want 10% off every week at Superfarm? Then get your free supercar today. Find out if you qualify for instant savings in-store or online. Smart shoppers always save at Superfarm, your prescription of trust.
Go big, go digital, go everywhere with the Big Board Company. With 15 high-impact digital billboard locations across the country, the Big Board Company puts your brand where it belongs. Front and center with state-of-the-art LED screens in the most high-traffic areas across the country, you are guaranteed to be seen. Get flexible scheduling, real-time updates, and the most eye-catching and dynamic visuals. With free artwork from local businesses to national brands, we bring reach and visibility like nobody else does. 15 locations, endless possibilities. Advertise with the Big Board Company and get that Big Board impact. Call 723-9595. For more information. When the issues matter, the conversation starts here. From politics to the economy, from social justice to national development, nothing is off the table. Weekdays, Monday to Friday, 6 to 9 a.m., Davey Marie brings you the Morning Rumble on Freedom 106.5 FM. Hard-hitting topics, informative, credible guests, experts who don't just talk, they break it down. If you want clarity, accountability, and real discussion on the issues shaping your day and your country, there's only one place to be. The Morning Rumble, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
All right, folks, let's get back to diabetes and you, Dr. Andrew Daniel and his guest. Let me give you those numbers, 625-2257, 627-3223. Of course, you could WhatsApp us at 306-1065. Any of your medical issues, of course, concerning diabetes, and we're talking about your sexual health today, right?
Thanks, Bass. And yes, so send us a message if you have a question or if you have a comment, and we'll be sure to take it. But we are here with Dr. Godin, and we are talking about erectile dysfunction and diabetes, and of course, overall men's health. And before the break, we were kind of discussing how diabetes actually results in all of these issues. But I want to go into sort of the emotional side of it, Dr. Godin. And we're talking about, one, men not wanting to take certain medications because they may cause erectile dysfunction.
I do see some questions coming in there if you want to take them.
Let's take a couple of questions.
All right, and okay. All right, okay. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good day. Hello.
Hi.
I listened to you starting off the program, which is about diabetic, right? But I am not a diabetic. I am a heart patient and a high blood pressure patient. But I use Mikardis 12.5 for my pressure, and I am not getting it nowhere to buy because the government, well, you don't get it in Cedar. And I am wondering what's the best thing to do with it because it's getting a bit more treated.
So I think he was breaking up quite a bit there, Base. Is he talking about his blood pressure medication?
He was talking about the medication here that he cannot get. He's a blood pressure and heart medication.
So I would say that advice I can't give out. We can't give on the radio. You need to speak to your doctor about. So what I would ask is, if it is that you're unable to get a medication on CDAP, there is a phone number that you could call, which is the CDAP's hotline, and I'll get the number shortly. And once you call that number, you could let them know that you cannot get the medication at your pharmacy, and they will either advise you on when the medication is available or where the medication can be received, because I believe the way CDAP works, you can go to another pharmacy to get the medication. So I'll share that CDAP hotline number shortly.
We do have another question coming in here via the WhatsApp.
No. Well, I do have ED, but I read an article stating that it's always a good thing to keep the organ exercised, whether it be through sexual relations or manual stimulation like masturbation, because it releases pressure on the prostate. Could you expand on that, please?
Dr. Gooden?
Yeah, I was trying to, I didn't hear the question clearly. Could you repeat the question for me, please?
Okay, let me play it again there.
But I read an article stating that it's always a good thing to keep the organ exercised, whether it be through sexual relations or manual stimulation like masturbation, because it releases pressure on the prostate. Could you expand on that, please?
Keep the organs exercised, you know?
Okay. All right. Now, that is always a very interesting and almost controversial to some extent in terms of erection causing or having a positive effect on the prostate. I know that there was a paper that came out some time ago. I can't remember exactly how long, that was suggesting about frequent sexual intercourse, that it may be a preventative or a cause of, prostate cancer and all that. Now, that was just a one paper. That's not something that we do, believe in. But we do encourage, having a sexual involvement, but with a under the right circumstances, all right? We do encourage it under the right circumstances. But the important thing is your overall exercise. That's the important thing. And a lot of us, we do live a sedentary lifestyle. We don't, spend a lot of time exercising. And a lot of us are very guilty of that. And it has found that individuals who exercise and have erectile dysfunction, it actually can improve your erectile dysfunction in about 40% of cases. So exercise, the general exercise, doing cardiovascular exercise, but also resistance exercise is also believed to increase vessels formation in your organs. And so it will improve the blood flow and ultimately improve your erectile function.
Very interesting, definitely. And I mean, overall exercise is good for many, many things. And I mean, that'll be a good plus. Any more questions right now, Biz? Base? Okay.
Would you like some more questions?
Yes.
Okay, let's take another question here. Hello, good afternoon. Oh, we lost that one there. Yes, 625-2257, 627-3223. Call us up, Dr. Andrew Danu and his guests, especially you men. All right, let's take this one here. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, I'm going to exercise. I think the reason I don't have...
You're breaking up, Pinal. Breaking up very bad. We could hardly hear you.
Well, okay.
You'll have to call us back here, because
we... What about... This is better?
Not really.
All right.
Not here. You'll have to call back here. There seems to be some problems in the line with breaking up there. Try us again, Pinal, on the other line. 625-2257, or if clever, 627-3223. All right? Until he calls back, you all could continue.
Sure, sure. So Dr. Gooden, I wanted to
ask, and you're sounding very low as well, Dr. Danu.
I guess it's the weather, probably the rain.
Probably, I don't know. Maybe a rainy weather. All right, but let's take this call coming. That's long. I'll just try. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, afternoon. Better now?
No, you're still breaking up there, Pina.
Okay, what about that?
Better, a little better now, yes.
All right, go with that. I'm an extremist. One of the first questions I got from a colleague, a teacher, is that if diabetes does kill your nature. And then my cousin asked that same question while we were walking for exercise. So I was alerted immediately that you have tested positive and this could happen. I had no knowledge that these things were, you know, considered, and it hadn't happened. And then I had discovered it via being sent by my eye doctor for the diabetes test. So I kept on that track of macular scan. Now, in the macula, you have some of the finest blood vessels. So I was using that to monitor the fine blood vessels in my whole body because it's the same blood and, you know, the same nutrients. I mean, there might be something in particular, but by and large, you could take that. If it's good in your macula, it's good everywhere. And being an extremist by nature, I ended up with a vegan diet, exercise. I've divided the world into good and bad, and I only do what is good for my health. And I take extreme measures. I don't understand why you would encourage somebody into moderation when they could suffer erectile dysfunction at a young age. When moderation, because what is moderation? You're walking through the bakery and you eat something, you know, that you would not normally eat, but you live in that environment, so your moderation is different from mine. So that's why I'm saying, tell the people what to do, give it to them like a prescription, this is your reign, and stay there. I think doctors are the problem to some degree, you know. Thank you. I want an opinion. Thank you.
What did you say?
I don't know how to respond to that. I mean, the thing about it, the only thing that I would say is that as doctors, we just need to be very honest with our patients. We need to spend time with them explaining, you know, all the possibilities, because I think what happens a lot of times is that when a patient is diagnosed, a lot of them are not aware of the possible, you know, complications that could take place if they're not taken care of. And, you know, I think we just need to spend a lot more time. I really do believe that, you know, patients, you know, like the idea when they have a better relationship with their physician, you know, where they talk with them and not talk down to them, you know, where they spend time explaining, you know, the information. Sometimes, like, for example, in my practice, I sometimes, apart from just talking, I show them videos to let them see what they're getting involved in. Sometimes I give them a, you know, printed document, something very simple for them to understand. And And then at the end of the day, after you do all of that, it will still be up to the patient, you know, in terms of the decisions that they make, because the responsibility will be upon them. We will give them a list of things of do's and don'ts, but now the patient has to be disciplined to ensure that they, you know, do the right thing.
Definitely, definitely. But I mean, we've always had Mr. Pinal as part of our avid listeners, and he's been a strong advocate on and been very, very strict about his diabetes control, mm-hmm. and he has been very, very successful with it.
But yeah, often tell excellent.
Him, mm-hmm. but I often tell him, everybody can't do that. He is very, mm-hmm. very. He's able to do that because he's able to do it because he's well educated and he has the resources to be able to be very strict mm-hmm. on things. I would say quite recently there was an article where the FAO would have put out that, you know, Trinidad and Tobago, a lot of people can't afford to have balanced meals.
Right.
So just as simple as those limitations are there in taking care of your diabetes. But we just have a few moments left, and I wanna make sure that we cover what we need to cover, Dr. Kodan.
I wanna
focus a little bit on that emotional side. Why do you think it's so difficult for men to say that they have this problem? And have you noticed, as I said, just like in Barbados, you notice a lot of domestic violence linked to ED. Have you noticed that in Trinidad as well?
I'm not so sure about the link of violence to ED in Trinidad. In terms of any percentages, I'm not 100% sure. But however, I mean, do believe it happens. I've had, you know, patients that have experienced a lot of turmoil in their family because the man has not developed erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
Because for one, the men are not talking about it, the wives or the girlfriends sometimes think they may be cheating while they are keeping away from them, and so it causes a lot of dispute within the family. And the thing about it is that it's a big emotional problem for men. It's a big emotional problem because men link good erectile dysfunction, erectile function, with masculinity.
Yeah.
And if they do have the inability to get erectile dysfunction, it makes them think less of themselves, mm-hmm. you know, and it causes anxiety. It causes depression. A lot of them, they have reduced energy and interest, you know, and they also become very stressed, especially, you know, at the time when they're about to have the sexual intercourse. If they're suffering from erectile dysfunction, they do get chronic stress. They get increase in the cortisol and the adrenaline level. And these hormones also reduce the testosterone activity as well. You know, so it's like there is a rigid, you know, cycle. And then it affects the relationship. You have a lot of relationship problems. You have poor communication. You have unresolved conflict, mm-hmm. you know, and then there is a level of emotional distancing that occurs. Mm-hmm. There's lack of emotional intimacy, you know, that often, you know, leads to the reduce in the sexual, you know, performance. So, you know, so the problem leads to decreased emotional intimacy, and then the decrease in the emotional intimacy also leads to further reduction in sexual performance.
Yeah.
And also there's this fear of rejection,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of men think to themselves that no, I'm unable to get a proper erection, then the wife that I've been married to for 20 years, you know, she may become interested in another partner. And I've actually seen a very interesting scenario where I know this, you know, individual, and he was having problems, you know, with his erection. He was actually having no erection. And unfortunately, his wife, yes, she's still with him, but because she is looking for sexual satisfaction, she was allowed by the husband to have sexual relationship on the outside.
Mm.
That one is a first for me. That was very interesting when I actually learned about that. But it can cause serious problems. It can affect their how they operate on their jobs. Mm-hmm. It can affect how they think. It can affect, you know, how they think about themselves, how they dress. It's a big, big problem. And it's a problem that all of us as doctors, urologists, and different specialists, we have to really, you know, find a way of, you know, developing a conversation and try and, you know, help individuals. And the unfortunate thing is that erectile dysfunction is extremely, you know, common worldwide. It's not just a Trinidad problem. It's not just a Jamaican problem. It's not just a Barbados. It's U.S., it's European. It's a common problem with men.
Mm-hmm. And knowing that it's so common, and there are treatments, and we just have a few minutes left, but mm-hmm. I want to take a few minutes to just let us know what are the treatments available in Trinidad and Tobago for men with this issue.
All right, cool. So that treatment's available. The first thing we always start with is lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever underlying factors that we would have identified, then we'd also treat those conditions. So some of the things that we ask them to do is encourage them to lose weight. We encourage them to do regular exercise. If they smoke, we ask them to stop smoke. We ask them to limit their alcohol intake. And we also try to ask them to manage their diabetes a whole lot better, their high blood pressure, their cholesterol. Improving their sleep, we find, is very critical. As a matter of fact, it actually increases the production of the nitric oxide. That's the substance that helps with increasing your blood flow to your penis. And we also encourage them to reduce their stress level. And that is very, effective, and can significantly improve the mild to moderate erectile dysfunction. After that, we talk about oral medications. And they are usually the first-line treatment for erectile dysfunction. The common medications, sildenafil, which is Viagra, which one of the things that most, you know, men may have heard of before. It's very successful in about 60 to 80% of men. If they have low testosterone, and that's the reason for the erectile dysfunction, we will give them testosterone replacement therapy. That's also very effective, not only improving erectile function, but improves libido and energy. We also have what we call a vacuum erection device pump. It's a cylinder that creates a vacuum around the penis. And what it does is draw blood into it. And then a constriction ring is then applied to maintain the erection. That, again, is very effective. It works in approximately 60 to 90% of men. And it's very, very useful, especially when the medications are ineffective or contraindicated. And then we also have the penile injection, where you can actually administer the medication by way of injection directly into the side of the penis. All right, again, that has a very good success, a rate of 70 to 90%. The drawback of that is that the patient is required to self-inject themselves. Mm-hmm. You also have the penile implant surgery, and that is considered when all the other treatments have failed or they are unsuitable. And there are different types that we have: inflatable implants, and we have the malleable implants. They're very effective, among the highest satisfaction rates of all the erectile dysfunction treatment. And more than 90% of implants, they function well over a long, you know, period of time, and is also show a very good patient and partner satisfaction that exceeds, you know, as high as 85 to 90%. You know, 90%.
So quite a lot of options, and you would say all of them are available in Trinidad, or
all of them are available in Trinidad. All of them.
So again, this is why it's so important to come and see a urologist or speak to a general practitioner to then be referred to a urologist if you're having these issues. And again, it's Men's Health Month, Men's Health Awareness Month, and we're really trying to bring these topics to men and have them go out and get screened for diabetes, or go out and say that you have an issue, because of course it's important, as you said, it could be a precursor. Having ED is a precursor to many other complications in the body. So Dr. Gooden, we just have a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to give you a closing thoughts to somebody out there who may be having this issue and not knowing what to do, or maybe embarrassed to say something about it, or embarrassed to go see a doctor about, what would you say to them if you just had a couple of minutes with them?
Yeah, I will encourage them, if they're having this problem, to go and see a doctor. Don't be afraid, because if you don't deal with the problem of erectile dysfunction, you know, then you may also miss in other serious medical problems, like, you know, disease that may affect the heart, you know. So, and if you go and get, you know, checked up very early, you know, we can also prevent a lot of the other, you know, a lot of the other problems that may, you know, result, or that may be, you know, occurring in relationship to the, you know, the erectile dysfunction. So, you know, it's an early warning sign. It's an indicator of heart disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, you know, or poorly controlled, you know, diabetes. So it's important that you go and get checked if you're, you know, if you're experiencing erectile dysfunction. And, you know, it will also, you know, maybe telling you that you're living, you know, that sedentary life, you have to change that sedentary lifestyle and now start do some regular exercise, eat healthy, weight management, and, you know, limit your alcohol intake. You know, treatments are available, very effective treatments are available, all right? There's no need for you to suffer in silence, all right? Because you think nothing can be done. Treatments are available, they are effective for most men, and, you know, you will get the help and you can live a better quality of life.
Thanks for that. Those very, very impactful words. And as you said at the start of the program, that men need to expose themselves or make themselves vulnerable to the doctors to be able to get the help. That's oftentimes very difficult in terms of just dealing with the culture of men and culture of Caribbean men especially. So, Dr. Gooden, thank you so much for being on the program. We will turn this program into an article in a couple of weeks in Diabetes and You, so I'll be reaching out for more information. But today's article is, of course, about diabetes distress. It's on page 27, Trinidad Guardian. So take a read of that article today. It's Men's Health Month, and we're going to be continuing with topics related to men's health. And next week, we're going to have Dr. Nicholas Maraja. We're going to be talking about the brain and stroke and high blood pressure, which often affects a lot of men in silence. So we're going to be dealing with that next week. Thank you again, Dr. Gooden, and again, listeners. If you need assistance from the Diabetes Association, please reach out to us.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.